This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria. No need to worry. The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Somebody watching me across the world, type in the comment, I'm ready, Pastor. I'm ready for my blessing. No, greet somebody. Say, I love you. Welcome to the Word. Welcome to the Word. Those watching across the world, welcome to the Word. Way up there in the boom, welcome to the Word. Welcome to the Word. Listen, the Lord is awesome. I want to just say a couple of things. Go ahead and take your seats for a moment. I want to give a few pastoral reflections before I preach. And again, our custom here is normally I don't get up until it's time for me to preach. That's just my style. I feel like you need to save your voice for the Word. So that's what I do. So if you ever see me get up, that's because I just feel like the moment requires a few pastoral reflections. Number one, I'm hyped about Father's Day next Sunday. I don't like what y'all did at all. Now, Mother's Day, y'all act like Jesus is returning. We gotta buy 7 cakes or you start crying. Y'all don't love me. I raised y'all. I carried you 9 months. Well, would y'all give some props to the seed givers? Come on. Because without the seed, no women, Father's Day, there are some good fathers and grandfathers. Clap better than that. I'm so hyped. And so I want you to be cognizant of that. And then I want to just drop this on you too, man. We are having a free citywide concert June 22nd with the hottest, come on, I know he's my son, but he's still the hottest singer right now, Pastor Mike McClure and friends. He bringing people y'all don't even know, some y'all love. He gonna have surprises, guest singers and famous people, absolutely free to the city. Those watching, spread the word. I can't help it. He's my son. He's the artist of the year, Stellar Award winning 2 times, and about to win some more. Would y'all go crazy for our son? Come on, Word Nation. So attention, all young people and old people, the Wednesday after Father's Day, you know the city coming. It's going to be crazy. Cost you nothing. Plus, pastors will be here from all over the world. It's going to be one of those nights. So would you mark that in your phone? 7 p.m. the Wednesday after Father's Day. That's like, 2 Wednesdays from now. So let's get hyped about that. Also, man, I told y'all that revival is going to begin with young people in this church. Y'all should get happy about that. I mean that. And everybody between the ages of 18 and 40, stand up right quick. Stand up, stand up. Between 18 and 40, stand up right quick. Which Word Church, y'all better clap. Like, look, that's half the church. Who can say that? Keep standing, keep standing, keep standing. You, keep standing. You are my assignment right now. Now, don't worry. I love your mama them too. But you my assignment. And it's a sad mama don't want the pastor to help their child. So even if you 50, 60, 70, this is not a time to be hating. This is a time to be congratulating, saying, Pastor, do it for them. So, hey, it's on the screen. I want all y'all to just hang out this Friday bowling. This Friday, June 17th, 7:30 at Broadway Lanes. There it is right there. Take a look. Take a picture of it. Hey, we just want to get this culture going. So bring a few dollars. Pay for your bowling. Eat something. Hang out, man. Never know, I might bust up in there, do a little bowling with you. We are serious about this culture. We're going to have church, we're going to have activities, because the world's trying to make our young people walk all the way away from Jesus. And so, hey, We want this culture, man. Just come hang out, and we'll tell you more about it, all that good stuff. So $10, including shoes. Sit down. Y'all sit down. While I'm doing that, I want to show y'all something on the screens. I had this assignment from God, and it was about young men, 18 to 40. Holy Spirit told me to disciple them personally. So take a look at these brothers, man. Would y'all clap? Every man in that circle is 18 to 40. Y'all not clapping. Y'all not clapping. Hey, these are your future husbands and leaders. Y'all better come on. And while I'm playing that, all you who belong to me in my discipleship class, stand up all over the building right quick. Let them see y'all here. Look at this. Now, I'm going to say this, and I don't think I've done this much talking before I preached. I don't know. I just don't do this, so it must be important. I got a pastor today I'm not worried about. That's me with them. And this Tuesday at 7 p.m., if you're a man between 18 and 40, this is like it. I need you to show up next door in the R.A. Vernon building in the Junior Sanctuary. I'm teaching, not no elders. There's no shortcut to discipleship. Watch this. You cannot deflect it. You have to do it. I got to put my heart in you. You'll hear this in my sermon in a minute, because you are it right now. To all my men over 40, you have my word, and I don't drop that. September, our Men's Monday's coming back. And so don't get it twisted. I got a whole plan. But do me a favor. Let me do what God is telling me and get these young brothers moving right quick. Would y'all clap for all the young men? So if you have a husband, a dude you like, your child's father, your son, anybody between 18 and 40, you need to be here at 7 because I'm getting started. I've been putting it off. We've been trying to wait to make sure we got everybody. Once the lines start moving, it may be too late to jump in, because I'm not going to have time to back up once I get this training going. It's going to be intense. Any brother who's not serious, we want to invite him to go home, praise God, and just come to church on Sunday, because I'm going to tell them about ministry, how to act in church, how to get your money right, how to handle your woman or your wife that will be. Come on, talk to me, somebody. Or your wife now. So it's going to be amazing. So please, 7 p.m. Last but not least, and then we're going to let the praise team come. And, everybody who serves in ministry, this is 20 years late, but that's okay. God told me to create a space, a Google atmosphere room, where you can come on Sunday, put your stuff in your locker, hang your coats up, have breakfast, charge your phone, sit around, and we are building it right now. Everybody, would y'all clap? Are y'all not clapping? This is for everybody. Kudos to our maintenance team. This will be done in about the next 30 to 60 days. It will be a place where all of you who do anything in ministry every week, that room you see right there will be our new music and arts room. Everybody clap for that. That is where our praise team, our choir, our arts team, our dancers, there'll be mirrors on the wall for them to practice. That's a brand new floor you see down there. We're putting up the drywall now. The brightest yellow, red, green furniture to give it all kind of life. It will be the hottest ministry area in the country so that they have a place to go. Come on, everybody. Now, I want to do this, and kudos again to our maintenance team. They work here. We don't have to bring people in. We have a construction team that works on staff. Clap for them, everybody. Praise God. All right, I'm preaching. I just asked one of my finance guys. That room is costing us about six figures, and we're about halfway finished just because of your giving. I need every member of our church to take out your phone. Every member, right now, because I asked you. Every member online, this is important. Everybody watching online, I need you to go to the giving app now. There's an envelope in your seat if you want to grab it, or there's a place you can see where you can use your phone and just hit the QR code on the back of your seat. Or you can walk up here with your giving. I want 100% tithing today. It's summertime. Some of you are going to start going on vacations, and you should leave your tithe here. Yeah, bless God before you get on that plane, before you go on that cruise, before you go see mama, before you go to see the point. Say, baby, let's pay our tithe before we leave. The church, I'm going to hang around most of this summer. I'm going to be right here in it because we got a lot going coming off pandemic. I got to keep my focus, as you'll hear in my sermon, but I want 100% tithe. Also, between now and next Sunday, who loves your church? Raise your hand. I need every member that loves our church between now and next Sunday, if you could, to give an extra $100 above your tithes and offerings. Above your tithes and offerings to help me finish this ministry room. Also, one other goal I have for this summer, I want to make sure our gym is painted and our floor is redone and our basketball court, because young people are coming back to church like crazy, everybody. Come on. So we want to redo our gym floor. We need scoreboards, new scoreboards. We need to paint it and make it look the way, and eventually I want bleachers in there so we can start having intramural leagues. We now have a new sports ministry. A lot of talking, but I got to do it. As our worship team comes, this is what I want you to do. I want everybody who can give 100 right now above your 10%. If you have it, you can walk it up to the stage. You can use your QR code. You can still use the envelopes. Remember, I'm saying this, you can drop your tithes and offerings off in the box outside. If you don't feel like coming to the front, there's a box outside for you envelope users. Let's everybody, let's give as our praise team comes. Praise God. Amen. Now, let's have a little fun. Clap those hands. Come on, giving is a part of worship. We pray.
Hey, while they're
exiting. Would y'all welcome in our national audience and international from across the world? Look at that camera and say, what's up, Word Nation? God bless you all, those watching all across the world. We thank God for all of you. And again, we invite all of our virtual members to participate in giving and supporting. And one other thing Lady Vernon wanted me to stress, y'all know homecoming gonna be off the chain, don't you? Amen. Lady Vernon is taking the lead on homecoming. And ladies, how does Lady Vernon throw a party? Would y'all clap if you know how she throws a party? So we have in life a mini carnival, baptizing, homecoming concert. We got Remedy Church and Light Church coming home that Saturday night. I'm preaching Sunday. There's no place like home. So it's going to be crazy. Probably going to need triple overflow. So take a vacation, but just don't take it the 29th through the 31st of July, because you want to be here. Those who are watching across the world, get your tickets now. Quit your job. Just come on. Praise. I'm just playing. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. But book your vacation the 29th through the 31st. All right. Let's go to work. Y'all ready for work? All right, so if you don't mind, I wanna invite both your senses and your intellect to two passages of scripture that I think speak loudly to what God has given me today. I want you to grab Deuteronomy 34. Well, grab Lamentations first. Lamentations 3:22 is on the screens. Then Joshua 1:2, Lamentations 3:22. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Because his compassions fail not. They are new, how often? Now throw your head up and say, great is your faithfulness. And then there's one more scripture that said, now therefore arise and cross this Jordan. Joshua 1, verse 2. I want to begin a new series that we'll push for a couple of weeks entitled, Let's Do It Again. Push three people and tell them, let's do it again. Go ahead, let's do it again. You may be seated in the Lord's house. All right, so my girl and I, we have something, all couples look at me, all married couples, really every individual, but particularly couples, we have something called our top 10, our top 10. In other words, if something makes the top 10 list, it's one of those moments that we say it doesn't get much better than this in life. We have a running top 10. It's hard to crack the top 10. I mean, think about it. Number one, we've had children, so you got to throw that in the top 10. And then certain moments in our marriage, certain ministry days, certain big places in life. And every now and then we'll look at each other and say, that's making the top 10. One such moment for us that cracked the top 10 was last week's Founders Family Celebration. I know you're thinking, Pastor, that's not the first time we've celebrated you. Well, there's something about age and maturity that makes you a bit more appreciative. So first and foremost, the service was amazing. I saw our paid staff because I know what they do and how they do. I know the man hours that it takes to put on those kind of videos and trying to sneak behind my back, which is real hard to do because of a roach walk across the Word Church's floor, I know what kind of tennis shoes he got on. Praise God. Amen. I get paid to watch the Word Church, and I try my best to do it. But I enjoy that. And then, of course, which I'll speak to, if you gave me a penny, it was more than I had. And you helped feed my children. So if you gave me a penny last week, you literally helped feed my children. And I love you for that. But what made it crack the top 10, believe it or not, what was not so much the service, though it was amazing, but afterwards, since service had ran a bit long, I said, I'm going over to field number 2, and if you'd like to greet my wife and I, we'll see you over there. And to my amazement, and this is without embellishment and with no fear of hyperbole, it was the longest greeting line that my wife and I have ever experienced in over 2 decades. It took us well past an hour And the line kept growing and growing. Number one, geographically, we had moved it to another room. That becomes a problem for some. Secondly, the service ran a little long, so that was all the more reason for persons to exit right out the door, vis-a-vis coming over to another field, another part of the building, just to stand in line an hour, just to tell us stuff. As you stood in line, you start telling us stuff that kept us up all night. It was amazing. Pastor, I was 12 when I got here, and I'm almost 30 now, and your teaching has kept me a virgin. Pastor, when I met you, I had no education, and you kept saying 2 years from now, you can have an associate's degree, and 4 years from now, you can have a bachelor's degree, 6 years from now, you can have a master's degree, even if you have a felony, and if you want to, 8 years from now, you can be doctor somebody. And Pastor, I have my doctorate degree. Now, Pastor, my husband and I wouldn't have made it if it wasn't for the loving touch of the Word Church. Pastor, I would not be the woman that I am if it was not for Lady Vernon's hug and admonishment. And we went home and thought to ourselves, wow, it's amazing, because I should have been fully present. But while you were being nostalgic, I was asking myself, what's next? Not to have enjoyed that moment would have almost been a sin. But while you were thanking me, I kept hearing God say, let's do it again. And speaking of doing it again, this particular Deuteronomic passage is pregnant with preaching possibility, because it is in Deuteronomy that we see the mourning of Moses, which you'll understand in just a moment. But also, it is in the book of Joshua that we see succession succeed. Okay, let me hurry. Okay, so I need you to stick with me today, because this is going to get gooder and gooder. Excuse my ghetto English. Yeah, so the text opens in an amazing way. Okay, so here's what most of you know. There is a Pastor Moses, and one would argue, with the exception of Jesus, some argue the greatest leader of all time. That's major. You know Jochebed's baby. You know Aaron and Miriam's brother. You know the brother who made a mistake and took a man's life, and God kept him on the backside of a desert the first 40 years of his life, building his character. Come here, young disciple. See you Tuesday. Because he needed some time to be discipled and mentored before God could use him in the most major way he wanted to. You do know Moses, the one that God tells, take off your shoes, for you are standing on holy ground. You know the Moses that God calls up on a mountain and gives him the Decalogue. You call them the Ten Commandments. You know Moses, the brother with a stick and a stutter, abandoned by his mother, but became a leader like no other. You know Moses, the one that led the children of Israel across a sovereign sidewalk, and the Reed Sea, you call it the Red Sea, stood up on liquid legs, and they walked across and didn't even get wet. Y'all just missed that. You know the Moses that, when God was going to kill everybody, interceded for the children of Israel and said, I know they're crazy, but God, because I love them, please don't kill them. You know that Moses. It is this Moses that is now passed away at 120 years old, and the text tells us his strength never left. I'm sorry, I like to preach to young people, but old people, come here. God told me to tell you, he's going to keep you strong to the end. Everybody over 60 should have clapped right there. God told me to tell you, because of your faithfulness, he's going to keep you strong, Mother Jones, Mother Oldham, to the end. Yeah, it is this Moses who finally passes away. Don't lift him up. No. We don't worship the men in the Bible. We worship the God of the Bible. Moses has his issues, like your pastor does, like your husband does. Don't lift up anybody to God status. Don't lift up any man to God status, any husband, any wife. Moses has his issues. God told him to speak to the rock, but because Moses has a temper problem, he hit the rock. I tell pastors all the time, don't just think David's issue can disqualify you with Bathsheba, but Moses' issue with his temper can keep you out your promise. So you have to also ask yourself, am I Moses or am I David? Because both can miss something. Oh, y'all not catching this. It is this Moses who finally passes away, this great man, this great leader, arguably one of the greatest leaders of all time. God lets no one come to the funeral but him. And God opens up our text today by preaching his funeral, and it starts like this: Moses is dead. Now, y'all just missed y'all sermon, huh? I was trying to help. No one was invited to the funeral. God is the only one that came. God didn't even tell anybody where it was, because they worshiped Moses so much, they would have divided up his body and praised his remains. So God says, I'm not even telling you where he's buried. I'm not telling you where the funeral is. And here's what I want you to understand. Here's my eulogy remarks. Moses is dead. Okay, let me try one more time. I just spent 7 minutes in my intro telling you all the great things that Moses did for all these people, and God says that his eulogy, Moses is dead. Some of y'all catching this? I'm gonna deliver y'all from slow if it takes me the next 10 years. Let me try it again. I just told you 12 things about Moses, and God does his eulogy by saying Moses is dead, which tells us no matter how good something was, you can't stay there. Okay, that's my thesis. That's my thesis that I'll spend the next 20 minutes or so chasing. But my thesis is, no matter how good something or someone was, you can't stay there. At first glance, this seems to be one of those problematic pericopes.